Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the things I love about the Bible is that it is incredibly practical, and James, in particular, is a very practical book. And here in chapter 5, verse 13, he gives us some extremely practical advice. There are two types of days that human beings have. There are good days, and there are bad days. Some days, things go mostly right. No, there's no perfect days, but more things go right than wrong, or there isn't a lot of troubles. But some days it seems like everything goes wrong. God tells us in the book of James what to do, whatever kind of day you might be having. And he starts with the bad day. What should the baptized child of God do on the bad days? Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. James 5:13. The book of James encourages us that if we are going through a difficult time, that what we should be doing is praying. When we are having a bad day, things are going wrong, if life is becoming overwhelming for us, we should pray. I want to share with you four facts about prayer, or what the scripture encourages us to do in prayer. Number one, we should pray for our needs. As the hymn writer and pastor Joseph Scriven put it, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Of course, we shouldn't just pray on the bad days. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually. We just finished our sermon series on Ephesians 6, the armor of God. So we are to put on the armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And so once we have the armor on, the next verse says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Ephesians 6:18. God thinks prayer is really important and something we should be doing all the time. What is prayer? Well, put simply, prayer is speaking to God in our words and in our thoughts. It's not a chore. It's a privilege that we can talk to God at any time. And we should be talking to God regularly, on good days and especially on bad days. Especially when times are tough, it's time to take it to the Lord in prayer. Psalm 50 verse 15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. The great news is we can talk to God about anything at any time. He's our best friend who's always ready to listen to us. But in difficult times, it's especially good to not only pray, but to have others pray for us as well. And this is something also that the book of James suggests. James 5:14 says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. So number one, pray for your needs. Number two, pray with others. What a wonderful blessing to be able to bring our needs to our loving Heavenly Father in prayer. But it's also a blessing to share our needs with others who will pray for us. James encourages us so that when someone is ill, they should call the elders of the church to pray over them. The elders would be the mature leaders of the church, the pastor and other spiritual leaders. You don't need to be shy. You don't need to keep it to yourself. As Christians, we can share our needs with those whom we trust, our brothers and sisters in Christ, to pray for us. It's one of the great privileges in life when someone shares a need and asks you to pray for them. Now, this verse also talks about anointing with oil. Oil in those days was used for medicinal purposes. Remember the Good Samaritan who bandaged the wounds of the man attacked by robbers and then poured oil and wine as medicine. So the oil referred to, I believe, is meant in medicinal purposes. So we shouldn't neglect medicinal help, but we should also pray. The emphasis in this text is not on the oil, but on the prayer itself. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Prayer, God can use prayer in powerful ways to help others. And it is a privilege and an important thing for us to do that we pray for the needs of others. Number one, pray for your needs. Number two, pray with others. Number three, pray according to God's will. We don't pray according to our own will. but according to God's will. God is not a genie, and prayer is not a magic lamp. As I said, prayer is talking to God in words and thoughts. And in this case, we are talking to the one who loves us the most, asking for his help and his aid. Now, we always understand that God will answer according to his will. That's what Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not my will be done, but thy will be done. That's what Jesus taught in the Lord's Prayer, and it's what he did in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus asked that the cup be taken away from him. Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Mark 14, verse 36. Jesus puts himself in the hands of his loving Heavenly Father. He puts himself and trusts in the will of his compassionate, caring, and loving Father, just as we put our trust in God's will. Why can we do that? Because God loves us more than anyone. God loves us more than we love ourselves. We can trust that God will answer us in the way that is best for us. Number one, pray for your needs. Number two, pray with others. Number three, pray according to God's will. And number four, pray with thanksgiving. No, I did not say pray at Thanksgiving. That's fine, but praying once a year before you have your turkey dinner, that's not enough. Pray with thanksgiving, even on the bad days, maybe especially on the bad days. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So even on the tough days, God wants us to be thankful. And you know what? Even on our worst days, we have so much to be thankful about. We can always be thankful that because of Christ and his work of atonement, we have the ability to approach the throne of grace with confidence because we know our sins are fully forgiven. We can give thanks to God for the forgiveness of sins. We can always be thankful for God's love. We can be thankful for the blessings of prayer itself. And of course, we can always be thankful for the gift of everlasting life, which is ours in Christ Jesus. Even on our worst days, we have so much to be thankful about. So, is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. When we're having the rough days, when we're going through the bad days, we need to pray. But what about the good days? What about the days when things are going pretty well and there's no major problems? What should we do? Well, James 5:13 concludes, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. When we are blessed with those good days, the proper reaction is to praise God. And James gets even more specific. He says, we should sing. Just like prayer is not optional for the Christian, praising God and singing are also essential parts of the Christian life. The Bible, thankfully, does not command us to sing well, but it does command us to sing. The word sing is mentioned 400 times in Scripture, and over 50 times it's used as a command. Now, the Lutheran Church, we are blessed. We've always been known as the singing church. The Lutheran Church gets its love of music from Martin Luther, who considered music just second to the Word of God in terms of the gifts that come from God. Let me share with you what Martin Luther said about music. He said, music drives away the devil and makes people joyful. Next to theology, I give music the highest praise and the greatest honor. He also said, next to the Word of God, music is the greatest treasure in the world. And then he also said, as long as we live, there is never enough singing. Isn't that beautiful? Martin Luther loved to sing, and he wrote so many hymns to teach the faith and to encourage other people to praise God with their voice. And that's what God wants us to do. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. God created you with a unique and wonderful voice. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God wants you to lift up your voice in praise to him. He loves to hear your voice. God wants us to sing and give praise to him. But he gives us a specific place where he especially wants us to sing, in church, in the congregation of believers. So number one, praise God. Number two, praise God in the congregation. Hebrews 2 verse 12 says, in the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And then Psalm 149 verse 1 says, praise to the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of his faithful people. We are created to praise God with other people. It's wonderful to praise God on our own. What a blessing it is to join our voices together to give praise and honor to our God. You know, after 2020, I think all of us realize just what a blessing it is to join together in joyful assembly and praise and give honor to God with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, just as the scripture says. One of the great joys we have as Christians is being with our brothers and sisters in Christ and singing a hymn that is both meaningful and beautiful. It is not something we should ever take for granted again. But when we sing, God wants us to sing in a certain way. He wants us to sing from the heart. Number one, praise God. Number two, praise God in the congregation. Number three, praise God from the heart. Ephesians 5:19 says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Lots of people are self-conscious about how they sound. But praising God is not a matter of your voice. It's a matter of your heart. God is not judging our musical ability. This isn't an episode of America's Got Talent or The Voice. God gave us our voice. God loves our voices. He is most concerned with your heart. We worship God not with our voice, but ultimately with our heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. We want to respond to God from the heart and worship the Lord with all our heart. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. So number one, on those good days, we should praise God. Number two, we should praise God in the congregation with our fellow believers. Number three, we should praise God from the heart. And number four, last of all, we should praise God with thanksgiving. Colossians 3:16 says, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. When we sing, we should be singing for joy with thanksgiving. Just like we should always pray and give thanks, when we sing, we should always have thanksgiving in our hearts. Again, we have so much to be thankful for. What do we have to be thankful for? Well, lots of things. We can thank God for the forgiveness of sins. We can thank God for his love. We can thank God for the gift of music. And we can thank God for the eternal life, which is ours in Christ Jesus. When we sing, it should be with joy and with thanksgiving, and we have so much to be thankful for. Psalm 95, verse 2, puts it so beautifully. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. I always take comfort in that verse. The Bible never says I have to sing well. It just says, make your joyful noise, Kurt. Just go ahead and do the best you can, but make it joyful. Make a joyful noise with songs of praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. We have so much to give thanks for. You know, life is full of good days and bad days. But every day is a good day to pray and ask for God's help. And every day is a good day to give praise and honor to our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.